Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Father in heaven, you speak to us by your word. You tell us to watch. In the season of Advent, we pray, O God, that we would be watching and waiting, anticipating, Lord, the celebration of your birth, preparing our hearts for this season and for the reason for the season. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Pastor Richard Pearson one time served in a church in Sioux City, Iowa, and they were one of these churches that had the living nativity scene. Now, any of you that have ever engaged with animals can understand that animals plus people plus nativity scenes can equal fascinating results. In fact, I have to tell you, some of the best experiences that I have had in church services are some of the skits and plays that the children will put on. It is always what is unanticipated that ends up stealing the show, grabbing the individuals that are there, and you just say, wow, the Lord just spoke. Well, one night it was Pastor Dick's job, along with the man who had a pickup truck, to get a pregnant ewe, which was bedded down in the parsonage garage. And they had to get that pregnant ewe to the church. That's the job. Pastor, guy with truck, on their way to the church. I'm sure the pastor's wife was quite glad that the pregnant ewe was coming out of the garage. So they went together, and they went together about half hour before performance time. And due to her delicate condition, they lifted her gently into the bed of that truck. And Dick rode right in the back there with her. He's back, pickup truck, pregnant you, pastor, back of pickup truck. I have to think it's red because that's the color of mine. So that's in my head. I don't know for sure. So it's a bitter cold night. And this animal decided that rather than participate in this event, that animal had other plans. The truck stops at a light. And this ewe bolted, jumped right over the tailgate. She started running down a busy street, away from the church. Pastor Dick in hot pursuit. Passing cars are slamming on their brakes. They don't want to hit him. They don't want to hit the animal. And they're yelling and pointing and laughing. And here goes this ewe, here goes this lamb, running, running, running on. And the pastor finally caught her in a thicket at Briarcliff College. And they reloaded her into the truck, got her to the place, 2 minutes to spare. And Dick said, all the way to the church, the lines from My Fair Lady kept running through his head, kick up a rumpus. But don't forget the compass and get me to the church on time. I sure hope your Christmas season will not be quite that hectic. But time is at a premium during this season of the year, during Advent. And our song very well could be, kick up a rumpus, but don't forget the compass and get me to the church on time. Welcome to this first Sunday in Advent. Many of us think of Advent as a time of getting ready for Christmas. And, you know, on a practical level, Advent really is just that. And I know some of you may already be having headaches just thinking about all the preparations that have to be made in the next few weeks. Lights, trees to put up, parties to attend, gifts to be purchased, meals to plan and prepare, presents to buy and wrap. How can you get it all done? Well, the season of Advent, my friends, is about much more than getting ready for Christmas. Advent is the definitive announcement of our future. Our future is defined and screamed out during this season. We are watching and waiting for the birth of a babe. But we now watch and wait after that babe was born and after he died on a cross. And we wait, as this scripture reminds us, for his return. And this is why Advent in so many churches across our land many times will begin by looking at Mark chapter 13. Here we find it again. Be on guard, verse 33. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away, so we have an example. He leaves his house, puts his servants in charge. Each one is given a job to do, an assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. And here's what we're going to center on today, this verse. Come back. Whether in the evening, number one, or at midnight, number two, or when the rooster crows, number three, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Now, would you agree with me that most of us nowadays don't give a lot of thought to the return of Christ? Now, we're busy thinking about all the problems in the world and all of our difficulties and aches and pains. We don't spend enough time, I don't think, thinking about Jesus coming back. And yet, on the other hand, there are some people who seem to only think and talk about Jesus' return. They've got no time to share the gospel because they're so busy talking about the primary preoccupation of his return. It's important. The rapture is reality. We need to understand its reality and proclaim the message of it. We've been waiting for 2,000 years for it. We can become obsessed with lots of things. The bottom line reality of Advent in the gospel is Jesus came. Jesus was born. Jesus died, and he's coming back. That's the package. We don't want to have just part of the package. We want to make sure that we understand the whole thing. Right now, people might not be in the mood to talk about the rapture, okay? They're so busy watching the lights and the Christmas pieces that we've got them right there. We're talking about the first part of the package, the birth. The birth of Jesus. This is, by the way, Christmas. Jesus' birthday. Easter comes not far behind. Oh, Lord, the spring will be here soon. And, yeah, some of you can call that wishful thinking. After a snowstorm already, leaving snow here, I am not dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm dreaming of a green April. So, here we find the impossibility of this biblical teaching. The bottom line is history has a direction. It is the reality that Christ is going to reign over all. And it is an amazing and wonderful promise about our future. The future is assured. The future is promised. We are in God's hands and we need to take it seriously. We want to make sure that we are prepared for the day of his coming. The Bible makes it clear. So, The question that we must ask today is, what can we learn from the Bible, from the words of the Lord, since he's talking clearly in this passage about his return? Jesus paints us a picture. He gives us a word picture of him. He is gone. He's put us in his house, in charge, his servants. He's given us responsibilities, and he wants us to know. We don't know when he's coming back. The owner's coming back, but we don't know when. But we need to be prepared. Bible's clear. So he puts his servants in charge. Christ turns to his disciples. The word picture completed, and he then says, therefore, verse 35, keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. You do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether evening, midnight, when the rooster crows, or at dawn. Now, these four times, evening, midnight, when the rooster crows, dawn, may have some special meaning that we could think about as we read through the rest of the Gospel of Mark. Let's consider them one at a time. Therefore, says the master, keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening. So the first one is, he could come back in the evening. And so I want to ask you this morning, what is the significance of evening? If the Lord comes back in the evening, what is the significance? Now, in the next chapter, chapter 14, Mark tells us that it was evening when Jesus had the last supper, the last meal with his disciples. And he says to one of them, one of you is going to betray me. Evening. Evening is a time of betrayal. Think about it for a moment. What would it mean for you to betray Christ? Here we are, waiting for Christ's return in this Advent season. Could it be a time of betrayal? For example, would it be a betrayal during this Advent season if we forgot totally about the deeper meaning of Christ's birth? If we spent so much time on all the stuff and the rushing and the bustling that we forgot the real meaning of his birth, is that a betrayal? Robert McGimsey, Christmas Eve 1932, attended a church service in New York City. And he was feeling inspired. So he finished that and went back to his one-room apartment. And as he walked the final blocks, he passed the open doors of private clubs where people were shouting and swearing and singing. Others were so drunk they'd passed out on the sidewalk. And he thought to himself, what a strange way to celebrate the birth of the most perfect person who ever lived on this earth. And then he thought to himself, we seem to have missed the whole significance of Christ's life. And that night, he wrote some thoughts on the back of an envelope. And these words became the basis of a beautiful Christmas song that goes like this. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, we didn't know who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind. We couldn't see. We didn't know who you was. And it's true. Many people who celebrate Christ's birth have no real understanding of who he is, who he was. Betrayal comes in many forms. Betrayal can mean ignoring the needs of those around us. It can be focusing all of our efforts and energies on the peripherals of the season, not on the principal reason for the season. We need to do more this year than just make sure that we say Merry Christmas. We need to make sure that Jesus is at the center of our celebration of Christmas, of our daily walk in and through every aspect of our lives. We cannot be so overwhelmed by the hustle and bustle that Jesus gets pushed to the side. Maybe betrayal is giving in to the rampant materialism of this season of the year. I read somewhere that the amount of money Americans spend on toys each year exceeds the gross national product of 64 other countries in the world combined. When it was evening, Jesus ate his last meal with his disciples, and he says to them, "One of you will betray me." That's the evening. A time of betrayal. "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening." The second one is at midnight. At midnight. What about midnight? Well, chapter 14. You'll recall immediately after the Lord's Supper, what does Jesus do? He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. So he goes from the betrayal, the betrayal that's in the evening, and he goes to Gethsemane to pray. Those drops of blood are coming from him, and there in Gethsemane at midnight. Do you remember? He just said, "Keep watch. Keep watch, disciples, while I pray." It was a time of agony for Jesus when he prayed that the cup of suffering and death would be taken from him, but still he prayed, "Not what I will, but what you will. Not my will, but yours be done." Two separate times he comes back and reminds the disciples to keep watch, but both times he finds all of them, including Simon Peter, asleep. And Mark says about Christ's disciples, they didn't know what to say to him. Betrayal, getting ready for Advent, midnight, making sure that we are not left, as Christ looks at us in our choices, with nothing, not knowing what to say. No wonder they didn't know what to say to him. He was pouring out his heart on this, the most critical night of his life, and his disciples, whom he had told to keep watch, had fallen asleep. As someone once put it, instead of standing on the promises, they were sleeping on the premises. Instead of standing on the promises, they were sleeping on the premises. And the obvious question is, hey, could that have been us? We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us to make a difference in this world. Have we been sleeping on the job? One time, a man went to his doctor, asked the doctor if he could help him. He said, "Doctor, I've got a horrible, horrible snoring problem." He said, "As soon as I go to sleep, I begin to snore. It happens all the time. What can I do, doctor? Please help me." And so the doctor said, "Does it bother your wife?" And he said, "Oh," the man answered, "it disturbs the whole congregation." We say of Santa, he knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. In the evening, one betrayed Jesus. At midnight, they were all asleep. "Keep watch," says Christ, "because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or midnight or when the rooster crows." Now, come on now. We all know the story. Keep reading in Mark. What do we associate the rooster crowing with? Peter. Mark 14. There at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "One of you is going to betray me." He also says,
you will all fall away. Peter speaks up. Just like we might say, like, I am not going to let this season overwhelm me this year. I'm not going to be bothered by the traffic. I'm not. I won't let it happen. We protest. Peter protested. He said, even if all fall away, I will not, Lord. And it's then that Christ says directly to Simon Peter, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. Make sure you're prepared, dear friends, because the message of Advent, the message of preparation for the Lord's return, is an easy one to accept in concept, an easy one to accept from the Bible, an easy one to accept in words, but so profoundly difficult to live out in practice. Peter says, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you, Lord. And what happens? You all have good intentions about this Advent season. Don't have those good intentions still bring you to the same place Simon Peter got. What happens? Even though he says, I'll never disown you, he denies him three times, and then he hears the rooster crow. Bang! The lights come on. He breaks down and he weeps. Have you ever cried? Have you ever wept because you really did something stupid? I have. I love the way I read the Bible and I see the disciples, the followers of Jesus, the called ones of the Christ, and they've got warts. They've got shortcomings. You know, we don't talk a lot about grace at Christmas time, but I'll tell you, it sure does deserve to be talked about. Children are told to be good because Santa Claus is coming to town. That doesn't do any harm, but they need to know that God loves them whether they're good or bad. That's the gospel. Jesus loved Simon Peter, but Peter wasn't perfect, just like you and I are not perfect. When the time of testing came for Peter, he faltered and then he failed. But that did not mean that Jesus left him. That did not mean that Jesus stopped loving him. That did not mean that Christ couldn't use him. You see, the crowing of the rooster is a time of grace. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. Wow. What a wonderful thing, the coming of the dawn. Mark begins it this way, in a passage, those green grass days of April will be proclaimed. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away to the entrance of the tomb? And when they got to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away. And going inside, they discovered a young man dressed in a white robe. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is not here. He's risen. 36 hours before this particular dawn, the world experienced the darkest hours of human history. The Son of God hung on a cross like a common criminal. But at dawn on the Sabbath, the women discovered that his tomb was empty. He was risen, as he said. Have you ever noticed? I sure do. My wife just got me a wonderful present for my birthday. It's a light, because I tend to need light more than the average bear, and I'll tell you, it's getting dark outside real fast. So, but when you celebrate Advent and Christmas, it's during the darkest days of the year. That's symbolic. You see, darkness is humanity's essential state. However, John 1:5 says there is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It is the light of Jesus Christ. The evening of betrayal, the midnight when the disciples slept, the crowing of the rooster and the grace it represents are all preparation for the dawn of the resurrection. They also represent us. They represent us as we wait for the return of Jesus. This is still an imperfect world. We still live in a world of betrayal, a world in whom the church on whom Christ relies is asleep, a world still depending on God's grace as its only hope. We await the dawn. We await the return of Christ to dispel the darkness for all time, to set up his kingdom of love and peace and justice for all people. We celebrate Advent during the darkest time of the year. But it is not a celebration of darkness. It is the celebration of the light that has overcome darkness. It speaks of a day that is yet to come. Pastor David Peterson was once in deep preparation for a sermon. I know that when I'm focused on something, I do not like noise, and I don't like being disturbed. I've got this focus. Well, this pastor was very focused. Focused for the sermon. And his little daughter came where he was working and said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, can we play?" And he answered, "Honey, I'm awful sorry. I'm in the middle of preparing this sermon. In about an hour, I can play." Boy, that's some pastor. If he can get it done in an hour, I want his secret. So she says, "Okay, okay, when you're finished, Daddy, I'm going to give you a great big hug when you're done." And he said, "Thank you very much." And then she went to the door, and then she did a quick U-turn, turned back, and gave him an enormous, bone-breaking hug. And he said to her, "Darling, you said you were going to give me a hug after I finished." And her big eyes looked up deep into his, and she answered, "Daddy, I just want you to know what you have to look forward to." Advent is a reminder of what we have to look forward to. "Be on guard," says the Master. "Be alert," says the Lord. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn." The Lord speaks to us as we begin this Advent season. He speaks to us from his word in his own words when he says, "If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, what I say to everyone is, watch, watch." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the reality of this season. This season when we remember the goodness of our God. The reality of coming to earth to save us from our sins. What a joyous season it is. As we prepare, O God, as we prepare and do all the things that we do to make ready for this Christmas day, help our hearts to be our primary preparation. Help our focus on you to not be lost in the bustle of the season. May we find our hope and trust and focus in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing our closing hymn this morning, 164. Let's stand together. 164, "For God So Loved the World," 164.
To his own, his own received him not, but all who would believe, the power will receive. sons of God by trusting in His name. I'm so glad that Jesus came. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary from sin to set me free.
Bob Black, if we'd close our service in prayer.
Our dear Lord, we just thank you for this time. Time to celebrate the coming of your birthday, Lord. But to know that you came here to die for us, to hang on that wicked tree, Lord, and suffer unimaginable punishment. We need to remember this both at Christmas time, Lord, as well as Easter, because the whole package, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. And Kiyomi? Kiyomi, I want to talk to you when I get done with 1, 2, 3. You're number 4.
Thank you. Some books out there.